If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, the world's top fitness, health, and entertainment podcast, sometimes comedy.
Worldwide.
We answer questions asked by listeners like you. And we also do an introductory portion where we talk about our lives, current events. We mention our sponsors. So let me give you a rundown of this whole episode. So in the beginning, the intro portion, which is 45 minutes long, we start out by talking about books and family dinner time. We're all fathers. We all value being fathers. So we were sharing stories about things we like to do with our kids before bed. Then we talked about the movie Parasite. That movie was awesome, but...
Yeah, took a hard left turn.
It gets dark real fast. It's kind of hard, a hard dark one. Then we talk about how soup, the demand for soup is up 140%.
No soup for you.
So Campbell's making more money right now with everything that's going on. We talk about the explosion in sales of pools and trampolines, probably because people are at home more. We talk about how the NBA is returning. We're going to start seeing some games there with the basket sport game.
Yay, more sports, right? Right, Sal?
There you go. I talked about how easily it is to digest Organifi's plant protein. I love their protein. I have a sensitive gut. Protein powders tend to bother it. Organifi's protein does not. Easy to digest. It's dairy-free. There's enzymes added to help with digestion. Of course, it's all organic. The company Organifi only has organic products. If you want to use the Mind Pump discount for any Organifi products or supplements, go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the code, /MindPump. And then use the code MindPump for 20% off. Then Justin brought up a scientific study. This was fascinating.
Yes, I did.
Has to do with farts.
Oh, yeah.
I talked about how somebody put their dead grandmother in a freezer for 15 years. We talked about how the market is exploding for athleisure wear and how Vuori, an indie brand, is crushing right now. Now, Vuori is
a company
that we're sponsored by. They make the best athleisure wear. It looks good. It's comfortable. It lasts a long time. They have a lifetime guarantee for all of their products. And because you listen to Mind Pump, you get 25% off. Here's how you get that discount. Go to Vuori Clothing. That's V-U-O-R-I clothing.com/MindPump. Use the code listed on the page for 25% off. And then we talk a little bit about the current events and our thoughts around them. Then we got into the questions. The first question, this person wants to know what we think of finishers. These are exercises people do at the end of the workouts to finish off. I don't know.
Hey.
The next question, this person wants to know how important it is to have a low back arch when you're chest pressing. So we talk about the value of the arch. The next question, this person says, hey, for athletes, what's the best balance between cardio, resistance training, and mobility training? And then the final question that we answer, this person wants to know what our biggest client pet peeves were when we were training clients. Also, this month, all month long, our high-intensity interval training program, MAPS HIT, is 50% off. This is a very effective fat-burning program in the short term. In other words, you will burn more fat in a short period of time following MAPS HIT than you will with any other program. It's intense, so make sure it's appropriate for you. But of course, it's summertime. Everybody wants to burn body fat. That's why we put this one on sale. Now, of course, don't forget the program includes videos and demos and things you could do. You basically follow the whole program by logging in. So here's how you get your discount. Go to mapshit.com. That's M-A-P-S-H-I-I-T.com and use the code HIT50. That's H-I-I-T-50, no space, for the discount. Do you know what I like to see?
What?
It's just heartwarming. Every night when we're working out of town, you call your son and read a story to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like to make, that's been, it's cute.
That's nice, dude.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is my first go around as a dad, and I don't know if that's a thing for other fathers, but for me personally, it's been my favorite time is to read to him.
It's not t-shirt time.
Oh yeah.
it's not t-shirt time.
Story time.
But we do say that about bath time. It's bath time. It's your favorite time of the day.
No way, really?
Yeah, yeah. So we do that at my house.
Now, is he like really paying attention to the stories and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. So I read him about, I don't know, there's 7 or 10 books a night, and I'll lay him out on the bed and let him go grab like his favorite.
So he picks one?
Yeah, so he'll pick one, and he's starting to get.
Does like, he pick like a favorite?
Yeah, Katrina hates it. He likes all the daddy ones.
Does he really? Yeah,
I love my daddy. The Jimmy Fallon data book is hilarious to me. I think I brought it up before in the show.
Yeah.
It's like literally all it says, you know, it's an animal and with the animal noise it makes. And then it says data, like the whole book is that. But he loves that. And then at the very end of the book, it says, you know, and now together we say it one more time. And then you turn it open, it says data real big. And he's figured that out. And so then before I open that last page,
he gets all excited.
He gets all excited and he says data. So it's pretty awesome. Yeah, no, it's actually something that I don't know. Who knows how long, you know, I'm going to try and make this commitment that I forever read with him at night. And when he gets to the age when he's probably not interested in reading data books anymore and he wants to read other books, that as a family we'll sit and read. You know, Katrina can read what she wants to read. He'll read.
Oh, her. Just quiet time.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and continue that. Like, and part of that, if I'm committed to doing that right now, then it starts, I think, first with me staying committed to, you know, reading to him now, even when I'm out of town. So Katrina will normally FaceTime me when he's and there's been a couple times where, you know, it just didn't line up because we were working or something, and so I've missed out on it. But very, very, I think I can definitely count on one hand since he's been born that I have not read to him at 6:30.
Oh, yeah, if you're consistent, it'll remain.
That's what I hope.
Yeah, it's like my daughter, she's 10, and still she doesn't go to bed unless I go to her room and give her a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
She still won't go to bed, so she'll. She'll get ready, be in bed, and she'll wait there with her light on. And if I take too long, she'll call me. Baba! Baba! And I go in there and I give her a hug and a kiss. And
yeah.
I hope that never changes.
I know, me too. And that's kind of what I'm hoping. I realize that one day he'll get tired of reading those types of books. But then I would think that it would evolve to other types of books, right? And I'll continue to read, you know, to him or with him as much as I can. I just think that, you know, it wasn't something that we did too much. You know, my mom, I remember a few times, like, you know, we did evening devotionals as a family for a while, which obviously was probably good for us. But I remember as a kid when we were implementing that, it was later in my, you know, young or early adulthood or whatever. And I was like a little resistant of it just because it wasn't something that was already implemented into our life. So I'm hoping that I can implement that early and it's something he looks forward to and he wants to do. And I can just stay consistent with that because I wish I did read more when I was younger. Mm-hmm. That didn't really kick off for me until my 20s.
Yeah. These are the things that you're consistent with. They tend to become a part of your family culture. Like in my family, it was very important that we all ate dinner together. We never ate dinner separately. And this isn't judging other families that are, but just I know, and I didn't know any different. As a kid, everybody waited. You know, the dinner was, the table would be set, and we'd sit and wait for everybody to sit down before we start eating. And so we do that now with, you know, so my kids grew up that way.
Yeah, we do the same thing.
Yeah, so they don't.
So we just transitioned to that right now, right? So he's finally like able to like kind of feed himself.
Does he make him throw shit everywhere?
Yeah, yeah. So we're there now, right? And that was something that Katrina and I agreed on. She was raised that way. I was raised. That was another thing that I think my mom did really good was we always had dinner at the dinner table. And we couldn't watch TV at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was in a different room and it was you know, and we as kids set the table and we had our dish night and everything. So, yeah, it's funny because you actually see he behaves better and actually eats better when we all do it together.
Yeah.
So we've even picked up on those patterns when, you know, maybe there was a time where, because when Katrina, it took a little while for her to kind of like figure the timing out of like when he's eating and when we were going to make our dinner for when we first were transitioning into feeding him whole foods. You know, we were actually eating at different times. And when it got to a point where he was being a little more aware and eating mm-hmm. himself with his hands, like, you know, we made that transition. And instantly when we made that transition to just feeding him by himself, like in the your kitchen area on his high chair to all of us sitting at the table and eating, he does way
well. Well, you find, especially when the kids get older, there's not a lot of time where everybody's together at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to designate. And why not have it make, you know, be dinner?
Yeah, it's important. Why it's important to have family time like that. Going back to like reading stories and all that, like we just got a bunch of those really cool illustrated kind of science-y books. Have you ever heard of like Animalium or what's the other? It's like Historium or...
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they're kind of like encyclopedias, but they give you a lot of real detailed information about, you know, plants or about like animals.
Is that kind of like, remember World Book's version of that? Child, God, what was it called? Did you guys ever have World Book growing up? Oh, you guys didn't have the encyclopedias that were all...
It was like, yeah, it was a lot like that, like the Britannicas and all that.
Yeah,
like,
why can't I think of the name? That's going to drive me crazy.
Anyway, Funk and Wagnalls, that's what I mean, that was the name of the encyclopedia.
Was that the name of it?
Funk and Wagnalls. I think it was like the
great name.
It was the cheaper version of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like my mom buying the malt-o-meal
the knockoff version, the malt-o-meal.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah. So I was reading the boys, you know, I was trying it out. I was trying to go a little bit more, you know, detailed information because I always read them like silly stories and, you know, try and ad lib and do all this kind of stuff. And so, and they were getting into it because it's really interesting and fascinating to see all this stuff. And I'm reading, and it's a very like descriptive, you know, type of content. And as I'm reading and kind of really trying to get through this, Everett kind of looks up at me and like stops me and he puts his hand over his mouth and goes,
because he's bored.
Yeah, it's like you little shit. I was laughing so hard though because it was like so out of left field, you know. And I was like, oh my god, that was like one of his first like best jokes you've ever done.
Oh,
yeah, it made me proud.
That's adorable.
Yeah,
dude, Jessica sent me videos the other day of her her belly moving. You can see.
Oh, that's starting to happen now.
Yeah, it's like overnight. It went from we couldn't.
Isn't
feel
that trippy to watch? Like, yeah, you just see the little, you know, like a bump kind of move around.
Yeah, there. Right now it looks like little flutters or little whatever.
So is she like Katrina was hardcore into like all the apps that talk about like each stage of development, where they are, like when they could start actually hearing things outside the belly, like what phase that is. Are she following all that?
Oh yeah, both of us. I mean, I love that stuff. And I'm talking a lot to the baby now that, you know, I'll go down like belly level and have a little conversation with my kid and I'll say things indirectly to Jessica. I'll be like, your mama's acting crazy right now. No, I don't do that. Just kidding. Passive aggressive. You little cutie. I'm sorry you're in this person. No,
just plant seeds.
No, it's adorable. I absolutely love it. I'm loving the whole thing. Dude, you missed last night a fucked up movie.
What'd you guys watch?
Oh, that's right. You weren't there, Adam.
Bro.
You guys always make weird choices.
Bro, no.
We had talked about watching this though a while ago. Remember Parasite?
I've seen it.
You saw the Korean.
That's a good movie.
You liked it?
It was crazy.
Great movie.
Bro, at the end, that twist, I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, but it was so good though.
What?
It was such a good movie.
It went got dark right away. It was like light, fun, dark.
Oh, I thought it was well written.
I thought it was too, but I was not expecting it to dark.
Oh, it was nothing like what I thought either.
Very thought provoking for sure. Oh, I mean, dude. It was like, it was interesting because I didn't, in the beginning, it felt like kind of a comedy. You know, like the way that they're portraying, you know, them,
the characters
and like how, you know, they're kind of con artists and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, like it got dark, like this guy comes out and stabbing everybody. Yeah,
Justin and I were sitting there like, what
shit
just happened?
Like, whoa, where'd this come from?
I don't like this roller coaster of feelings.
Oh, you guys didn't lie. I loved it. I thought it was a great
movie. I liked it. I just thought it took me off guard.
Yes. You know, I don't know if I like the feeling of, and I can appreciate it, but I don't mind emotional roller coaster movies. I actually appreciate that, but I don't like it when I go from happy fun to oh shit
to a real dark place.
Yeah,
like, see, to me that's a sign of a really well written movie if it can invoke emotion,
sure,
and especially when it can invoke really opposing emotions, like happy, then all of a sudden you're really sad, then you're scared, then you're like when you can, that a good movie can take you all over the place. And what I loved about that is like it's not predictable.
Mm-hmm.
So if it can emotionally move you in all different directions, it's not predictable. Well written movie. Yeah. I thought it was a great movie.
It was definitely original.
Yeah. Jojo Rabbit did that to me when it got dark in that movie too. Oh, I was like so mad. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
You know, but it was also
that's another really good
didn't
movie.
Didn't it win awards, Parasite?
Both those movies.
Yeah, really interesting. I've never watched a Korean film before, but I appreciate it. The humor was...
It was really funny. I was dying through the first part.
You guys want to hear some crazy news? I looked up some crazy news today.
There's all kinds of weird news.
Well, all the news is crazy right now, so I looked up alternative...
What side of the crazy are we going to expose?
Yeah, alternative crazy news. So, apparently, a porn star in Spain... is going to get charged with murder or manslaughter because she did one of those mystic rituals with this man where they inhale psychedelic toad venom. And apparently it killed the man. So she's now going to be charged.
Wait, wait. She's the prostitute and she did
porn
it with
porn star.
This... Oh, she's a porn
different,
star.
Yeah,
oh, sorry.
Different, yeah. Prostitutes don't get filmed.
So she didn't have an active shaman license.
No. So exactly. So they're doing they were doing a mystic ritual. And
but why is she the one held accountable for it?
Because I think she gave it to him. She gave it to him and then he died.
Wow.
I know, dude.
Damn.
That sucks.
I didn't think you inhaled the frog venom, or I thought they just like pokey with it.
Dude, I had a friend that did. Actually, she rented space in my studio back when I had a studio. So she was all into that kind of stuff. And she came into work one day just to grab some stuff. She had taken the day off. She was a massage therapist. And her face looked like...
all swollen.
Yeah, it looks
that frog shit, right?
It looks swollen like somebody like hit, you know, beat her up or whatever. I'm like, what happened to you? She's like, oh, I'm cleansing my body. I'm like, what? So she shows me her arm.
Oh, you
arm
feel great got, after you're done.
Yeah, and she's like, she has like these marks on her arm from this you know, frog poison or whatever. And she's explaining it to me. She's like, it's cleansing my body. I'm like, well, what happened? She's like, well, my face is swelling, has gone down. And I looked at her like, what it looked like before, because it's messing right now.
Oh, no.
And she's like, she threw up and shit herself. And she's like, but now I'm starting to feel amazing. I'm like, well, I mean.
The logic to that.
The contrast probably does feel good.
That's what, the logic behind that seems very similar to someone being like, oh, my God, my right arm hurts so bad, and then grabbing their left arm and breaking it. How bad your right arm feel now? Not so bad, because my left arm's fucking broken. Just,
I think, the contrast. Oh, I feel cleansed now. Well, yeah, because you threw up and shit everything, and you were fear for your life.
Anything's going to feel better after that, right?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So
well, in other news, I think I brought up when we were talking about all the different markets that are up, the Campbell's Soup, 140%. So that's been like skyrocketing as everybody's
really?
Doing it.
Really? Oh, man. Everybody's buying canned foods?
Here's one that tripped me out, though. I was reading this. Above ground pools are like impossible to get right now.
Yeah, I was telling you guys, like, I remember my brother telling me about that. Like, he was, he just got some, he got like one of the last ones, but it's like you can't find them anywhere now.
Nowhere.
Is that because people are all at home?
Yeah. So, trampolines was the other one. And I think you brought that up, Justin. So people are trying to find ways, obviously, one, to stay cool and play or entertain their kids. And public places to go do a lot of this stuff is still shut down or will be shut down.
Yeah.
And so, pools, the sand, even like the sand to try and level the ground out to put a pool on it. It's just like impossible right now to get a hold of.
What an interesting market to get into.
Yeah, weird, huh?
Do you know they used to call trampolines jumpolines? And then your mom got on one.
Hey!
Wow! Bing!
Wow!
Sorry, I've been holding that
Who's that referred to?
I've been holding that one for a long time.
I gotta know if I gotta get
NBA's
you back.
NBA's coming back, dude. So,
oh yeah?
Yeah. So they did. They're doing 22 teams. So they're
what sport is that again?
Yeah, basketball.
Oh, okay.
So that not all teams are back. So unfortunately, the Warriors won't be playing.
How come?
Didn't have a good enough record. So they took basically the 22 teams with the best record because we should have already had.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we should have already had playoffs and everything.
Pretending like they're continuing from a season that didn't exist.
Yeah, so it's going to be an 8-game season, and then it'll move into like a single then double elimination playoff, and it'll all be played in Orlando, Florida. So it's all being played at some, I think, Disney's, Orlando, Florida's convention or some shit at somewhere over there. But 22 teams will be allowed to play. They'll play 8 like what they consider season games, and then they'll move into a tournament style for a playoff. So it sounds like we're starting to see that though now. It looks like
sports are coming back.
I know.
I bet you the viewership's probably going to be through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, with everybody just
I mean, we were just walking last night, right? When we were walking and it was dark, right? So we were walking the neighborhood over here, and all these houses have, you know, big picture windows and stuff, and you can see TV. Like, so many people are like watching replay games. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like, I'm like a diehard
classic.
I'm a diehard sports fan, but I'm not like that thirsty to where it's like I'm watching like games that were 5 years old and stuff like that.
Well, Santa Clara County is starting to open up stores and shops now.
Yeah, I just got a text from Courtney that my barber just opened back up with appointments only. So I was like, oh, yes, dude.
Thank God. Sal.
I know. Right. Yeah. Let's take it.
Hey, it's not bad right now.
Unfortunately, I shaved my head. Supercuts is open?
What?
Is Supercuts open?
I hope.
I don't know if.
Should have Doug Google that for you. See if Supercuts in San Jose is open.
Hey, come on. The hair doesn't look bad right now. I figured out a way. I kind of combed it, slicked it a little bit. You know what I mean?
I gave you some of my pomade. You're good.
Yeah. Somebody said I look like the guy. What's that beer guy? What's his name? Interesting man in the world.
The most interesting man.
Of course,
in the world.
You would
what
connect.
What a great.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Of course, you would connect to that.
Weird.
How about I share the other story? We tell every, you know, every like week or so, marketing team will message over to us, especially Saga Sal does most of these. Hey, I need a, you know, a promo video for this. We're running an ad for this or whatever. And so Sal does it, and then I get a message. Why does Sal look like a homeless person?
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Shut up.
Oh, my God, dude.
So stupid. Dude, the other night, I ran out of protein, so I went and got another plant protein over at the grocery store. I forgot how easy the Organifi is to digest versus the other.
I don't know how you forget that. You bring it up every time.
Yeah.
Every time you decide to go a different direction.
You know what I mean by forget? Like, you just kind of, because you get used to something, and then you use something else, and you can tell. And so I was trying to figure out why I digest it so much better. They add enzymes. They actually add digestive enzymes to their protein. It's something I never really
paid close attention. Is that not normal?
Some proteins will do this. I've seen some whey proteins do this as well. Well, they'll include like protease in there, which is the enzyme that breaks down protein. And that can help with breaking it down and with assimilation.
Well, this is the first trip that I'd have to say that I used the least amount of Organifi green juice. I only used it one time this time that we were together because we stocked up. We were so bad normally.
Well, we actually prepared this time. We brought our own food up.
Which
helped a lot.
And Doug doubled down because I went grocery shopping for us and Doug made a list, but then maybe he didn't trust that I was going to get enough greens because I think I got like four or five of those massive heads of broccoli plus asparagus, and then I saw what Doug met up with us. Like he had.
Oh man, all that asparagus has really been doing a number on my pee, man.
Whew. Oh yeah, that's an aroma. You know that's a genetic thing, right?
Is it?
Yeah. So some people
really
don't make that smell.
No.
Yeah.
I thought it was universal.
I thought so too.
I've never met somebody that happened to, but that's what I've read.
I've smelled a lot of pee.
Really? I thought that was like just a universal thing that everybody
eats. No, some people's pee does not smell when they eat asparagus.
Now that's interesting to me. Like what is it inside their body that doesn't cause it to make it smell like that?
I actually don't know. I think it has to do with the way whatever the compound, whatever
the
makes
waste
it smell,
is they something. Use I somehow. I don't know.
Mark it down. mark it down. Have Sal you, doesn't have an answer.
No, I ate some of those protein balls, Adam.
How you like those, huh?
They're really good. Now, that was whey protein. That wasn't. Have you ever used the Organifi protein?
You know, and complete transparency. This is why I keep both. And this is why, too, part of the motivation personally for me of like us working with both Organifi and Legion is I use Organifi when I'm just making a shake, and that's it. And if I'm using a fruit shake. So I notice like when I do like blueberries, strawberries, banana type stuff, it pairs really well with Organifi stuff. If I do something more savory, peanut butter balls, chocolate, Nutella – and I make a shake or a dessert that's like got protein in it. I find whey goes much better.
Yeah.
So, but I've tried both. Like I've used both, and like pancakes. When I make pancakes, I prefer the whey, although I have made them with the Organifi. So I keep both inside my cupboard. And I do notice that I do feel better from Organifi's protein powder than I do the whey, so that's why I try and minimize how much of the whey I am in comparison.
I notice I'm less gassy is what I notice because the whey protein, man, that still has that effect. You know, the old protein fart adage, right?
I only notice it if I'm doing it a lot. Like if I had like for some weird reason, a shake and a bar in a day or something, products.
See, the Organifi doesn't do that to me.
Yeah,
it's just very easy to digest.
It is.
Dude, I just found out about the asparagus pee right now.
I got to follow up to the protein fart after that.
Okay, so I was wrong. Actually, it's not that some people's pee doesn't smell. It's that some people can't smell that odor.
It exists.
40% of study participants, there was a study where they did this, and 40% of them said they could smell smell their urine after eating asparagus. 60% said they could not. So there's something in the odor itself some people can't detect.
Well, that's similar to, you know, Justin, transition for you. I'll help you out here. It's like farts. You know, some people think their farts don't stink. Your shit fucking
yeah, farts smell, bro. Yeah, it smells.
Well, I brought that up because there's actually a legit study that, it said, this study reveals that smelling your partner's farts is the secret to a longer life.
Wow.
I was like, yes.
I call bullshit.
This is validation. Wow. Dude, this is from the Journal of Medicinal Chemistry Communications. It sounds legit.
Katrina and I, 10 years, still going strong.
Wow. You what a terrible husband. You want your wife to die early? Prolong her life.
Staves off cancer, has all these like
100%
protective qualities too. I'm like, it's time to start hotboxing again.
Yeah, let me tell you, Courtney and Jessica are going to live a long time.
Yes, absolutely. For sure.
You need to start blasting your
wife. See? Depriving your poor
girl. We'll see what she thinks
girl.
As she listens
she
to this
still
episode.
Hasn't heard you fart ever?
No.
She hasn't heard you fart?
Yep.
What?
Still, 10 years, dude.
Why?
10 years. And you know what's funny? If people listening that are like tripping on that, it hasn't been hard.
Really?
Yeah, it's not a hard thing to do.
To just prevent. Just
and,
to,
and maybe that's maybe.
You're just not being yourself.
Well, maybe because we because we started dating after I really honed in my nutrition, right? So if you
bro,
were,
don't make that bullshit. You bust ass in front of us all
the time. Oh, yeah, you guys. Yeah, but not a lot.
It's like because your nutrition's great all of a sudden. You still fart like crazy.
No, my point in saying that is it was probably a lot more.
He has righteous farts, apparently.
Uncontrollable in my 20s when I was eating a lot of, when my diet was off. My digestion was off, and so probably back then there's no way I could probably contain it. But now, you know, the amount of farts that I have in a day are so minimal that I just make an effort to leave the room when my
girl must leave the room all the time. When we're recording, you're busting ass all the time in the studio, you, bro.
It is not that often. Stop. Out of the three of us, I am the least.
I don't know. It's
pretty
frequent, dude. Yeah.
Doug, chime in here.
Yeah, chime in, Doug.
I don't know. I haven't taken a survey.
No,
honestly, I try not to pick.
We got Switzerland over here. Yeah. Whatever, Doug.
It's like fart elitism here. You know?
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, that's the hell.
Hey, don't be fucking mad just because I can do that for my girl. That's it.
She, I paint toilets. I'll admit that. I do paint toilets.
Yeah, so. This guy's the worst. Come on over here.
I'm not even the worst.
Dude, you want to hear something else? You want to hear another crazy story? I love looking up weird news sometimes. So a Pennsylvania woman was arrested Wednesday for allegedly keeping her dead grandmother in a freezer for 15 years.
What?
While the family collected her Social Security checks.
Oh my God.
What?
She said that they're poor, that they needed the Social Security checks, so they just kept their grandma died. So they just put her in the freezer.
Now, okay.
You're going to hell.
Yeah, well, I'm what sorry. Happens? Like, what's the charge?
I don't know if they can prove
they didn't murder her.
Oh well, I guess fraud
right? Yeah, it'd be fraud.
Yeah.
And what do they get them for? Do you get mail fraud for that too? Like how many things do you get?
That sounds like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of a movie in the making.
That's crazy though. 15 years. So imagine collecting 15 years of Social Security.
What's crazy to me is that as old as we are, and as long, and the crazy news that we all read and see, I've never heard something like that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like the thought like that crossed someone's mind. Like grandma dies, and the first thing you think of is, oh my God. We can't tell anybody. Let's put her in the freezer because our Social Security checks are going to end.
Yeah. Dude, imagine.
Must have been the timing.
It's almost like
right?
they just find out she's in. They're all like, you know, depressed about. And all of a sudden, like a mailman comes by and like drops off a
right,
check.
Right, it had to happen like that. That's the
wait
only way
a minute,
that,
click.
Yeah, that's the only way that had to happen. Right?
Are you guys familiar with how? Who was that one hitman for the mafia? Was it they called him the Iceman? I think it was. He used to freeze. He'd kill someone, freeze the body, then he would let it defrost, and then he would. Dump the body somewhere, and what it would do is it would hide the time of death, because he'd freeze them right when they're dead. Then like he'd wait like 6 months.
Does that really throw that off? Or are we further along in forensics now?
That's what he used to do, and apparently it worked. I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, I think he got caught because someone didn't fully defrost, and they saw ice crystals, and so then they pieced it together. But before that happened, they couldn't identify the time of death.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he would just freeze them.
That's really crazy.
He's the same guy that would
put them in. The Iceman.
Yeah, and he would also put them in a vat of acid to boil off the hole or whatever.
That's gruesome.
That's disgusting.
Gruesome.
That is.
Dude, are you keeping up with the athleisure wear wars right now, Adam?
Yeah, no, there was actually just a great, it's funny, it's actually true. There's like a lot going on right now there's this huge spike in athleisure wear because so many people are either one, not working at all at home, or two, can work from home now that weren't able to work. So they actually just had this article with talking about Vuori and labeling them as like an indie brand in comparison to like Champion and Nike and all those. and they're like kicking ass. I mean, Vuori had 1,100% increase year over year in sales.
So it was the women's jogger or something like that.
Yeah, the women's jogger is like the most popular. It's like their $80. It's like the
it feels like they're getting threatened. You know, by their market share. I mean,
it's good news. They're making waves.
Well, the big brands are getting threatened by the up and coming brands.
A lot of it too is I just think it's the future of how business is done. And what I mean by that is, you know, Vuori started as a direct to consumer first, then moved to brick and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have already established how to scale and grow a business without a brick and mortar at all. So then in a situation where all brick and mortars closed, it was a very natural pivot for them. And they already established a very good community online.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have brands like that are older, Nike, Champion, et cetera, that started back when, and so they started brick and mortar. It was a more of a challenging pivot for these massive companies to switch over to that. Plus, imagine how much they're all getting hit by having stores that are sitting still, and they still got to pay leases.
They're in a very good position.
Yeah,
you know, they make clothes that are comfortable but look good, so perfect. You can wear them at home, you know, whatever. They're positioning themselves well with their online sales.
Yeah, and even the handful of, because they do now have some brick and mortars, they very small space, right? It's literally like a showroom.
Mm-hmm.
They don't keep a lot of stock inside there. It's literally so people.
Which I think is smart to kind of keep that, so that way you could go in, because clothes, it's such an experience of like how it feels, how it fits, how it's tailored to you. So, and that's the thing about Vuori, is just how much better it feels in comparison to the
others. I think this is what we're going to see with many businesses going forward. I think a lot of people are rethinking the way to start up. In fact, I think it's interesting when I see someone who doesn't think this way and they like want to open up a facility. Even though our audience, right? We have a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs. We have a lot of people that like open gyms or want to open a gym.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wouldn't advise that be the place you go first. Like, I would build a community online first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that totally. That has the similar values, has similar things that you have in common, and that's fitness related. And then from there, I take that community, and then I would consider building a brick and mortar. Versus, I really want to have a gym. I want to start my own gym, and then you don't have much of a following online, and then you go straight into trying to just really hard. Not to say it's impossible, but it's.
I think that's the move.
Yeah,
I do think that's the move. It's an interesting economy right now too. You're seeing like mixed reports of success in some areas and. Damage in others. The stock market definitely is not reflecting.
The stock market makes no sense.
Dude, okay, so you have tons of people who filed for unemployment, and hopefully a lot of that changes now that things start to reopen. I'm sure there's some permanent damage, but I'm sure a lot of it will get reversed. But even with all this unemployment stuff, new home applications for mortgages for new homes is up 17.5% compared to a year ago. So with all this stuff going on,
yeah,
and I think it has to, the interest rates are low, and also I read the article, and it said how there are lots of households that didn't get affected because they work in tech, or and what they're doing because they save their money is they see opportunities to get, you know, houses with that are maybe a little cheaper right now,
yeah,
with good interest rates.
Yeah.
So houses sales have gone up,
yeah.
Which I didn't
anticipate that at all.
No.
Well, and what I wonder though, if that's just the initial, right? And we are, remember too, we are right now in year over year, this is the hottest time to buy houses, period.
Yeah.
This is when everybody moves. This is when everybody makes it. So when you get into June, July, August months, they're the most popular months for housing to climb anyways. So then you add in all the opportunists that are jumping in right now because of interest rates. So the question will be, what happens at the end of this year going into next year if we eventually see some sort of a decline? I just can't imagine that it continues to move this direction.
No, I don't think so. Especially in the Bay Area is always an enigma though, because it's so expensive. Where we live, I'm always thinking it can't get more expensive.
Well, the reason
and then it does.
Well, the reason why that does is just because you can't build anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more. There's just as many people trying to get jobs over here, and you have all these startups and tech, and there's no more places to move into. So that's what drives that.
Right. So you just low inventory and a lot of restrictions on building and whatnot. So it makes it much more, I guess, much more difficult. So Adam, I really liked the what you said. I think it was in the forum about you know, how if everybody who posted the, you know, that black tile on Instagram, if everybody did that, they just donated. I thought that was such a good point.
Well, you know, and I don't want to come off like I'm you know, that somebody who put a black square up, like, I don't want to invalidate what they did, right? Or I don't know what they did outside of that, right? Like, you could have put a black square up and you could have been part of the marching and you could be doing things at your dinner table with your family and having really important conversations, and that was one of your ways of expressing and showing that. I just know, and we've talked about on this show before, that, you know, two of the, I think, most powerful things that we can actually do to make great shift and change is to vote and to vote with our dollars. And since right now, like, there's no voting going on in California for us, there's not something that we can go out and do right away voting, but we can vote with our money and we can put it towards organizations that are trying to make a good. And I was just making an observation that, you know, there was 28.9 million black squares that were posted. And imagine if all those same people just donated $1 towards a cause that actually is taking action to change these inequalities. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't to belittle or devalue or to say that, oh, you're this because you put a black square up. It was because people didn't understand why I didn't, you know, and that when, because we had already had a conversation around what we were doing well before the black square thing even happened and felt good about it. And I felt that I saw a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people, especially people with big voices like ourselves in our space that we know of, that it came off more like virtue signaling. Like, look at me. I too, you know, and instead of taking action and doing something. So for me, that was what I was trying to explain, was imagine how powerful that would have been if, you know, instead. And by the way, a lot of that, the black square thing, ended up hijacking, you know, Black Lives Matter
it did.
Content.
Did you hear about that? Because
yes,
people were, God, I wonder if that was like a way to get to kind of prevent the protests from happening, mm-hmm. because they needed to kind of shut down social media. Because what you did is you'd go to the hashtag Black Lives Matter, and then you'd just see a bunch of black tile.
Which, by the way, was posting videos of cops hitting people and doing things that people should be aware of,
sure.
like, should mm-hmm. see, and promoting where people were organizing and getting. I mean, that's a powerful hashtag for people to be able to use as a resource and a tool. And now it was flooded with these black tiles, because what happened was some artist, because it started with
music industry,
you know, put it out there, and then everybody just followed suit really quick without really paying attention or really thinking about what they possibly were doing. And, you know, and I felt like I got shamed because we had actually thought about it before it even came out on things that we wanted to do to take action. And
well, one of the organizations that we're donating to is the Center for Policing Equity, and they use real data to change discriminatory practices. This is important because these days there are no, I can't think of any explicitly racist legislation, meaning it's not in the actual law like the old Jim Crow laws or whatnot in the past. So these days it's much more underground. You have to pay attention to the numbers and the data to see if racism is being used within the system. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. They look at the data. And if things look out of balance, then they do an investigation, and then they put safeguards to change that. Because unfortunately, we're in a situation where we're trying to change the hearts of people. And doing that can be very difficult. I think forcing them doesn't work. I think we have to find other ways. And when it comes to policing, I mean, and I want to say this too. I have family members that are cops and friends that are cops, and they're very good people. Very, very good people. They're not racist. They have lots of integrity. And like my brother-in-law right now, he's going out to work in San Jose, and, you know, he's asking for family members to pray for his safety. And then he comes home, and 2 a.m., 3 a.m., he checks in with the family. Hey, I made it home. Family members are waiting for that text middle of the night so they could reply back. Thank you. You know, I'm so happy you're safe. And so there are good police out there. And I think that, you know, that organization I just mentioned helps work within that, because you're going to get some people. I don't know if it's ever possible to get all the bad people out of any position. There's always going to be some that are just shit, especially positions of power. So, you know, look at the hard data. I think that's very important. So what we wanted to do is to act, mm-hmm. not talk a lot, you know. And look, I know voices and talking and that stuff, it can also have an impact. In fact, right now you're seeing more fundraising for this movement than ever before, because it's on everybody's mind. So that's a a very good thing. Politicians, of course, are going to start talking about it. Hopefully, pass legislation or eliminate legislation that contributes to, you know, racist outcomes, for example. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very important. But, you know, we wanted to promote peace, unity, because there's a lot of anger and hatred going on right now. A lot of innocent people getting hurt. And so we thought, okay, let's talk about that. And then besides talking a lot, let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's donate to an organization that's actually doing, you know, good work.
Well, the idea was to say less and do more.
That's it.
That was really the message behind all of it. I mean, all of us feel very, very confident in who we are as individuals. I don't feel I need to post a black square to prove to people that I'm not racist. Like I know where my heart is. I know where all of your guys' heart is. And the best thing for us to do was to do something to help. I'm frustrated with the fact that what I see is more division happening, and that breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have come a long way.
It's a lot of pent up. It's a lot of pent up
fair
anger.
Fair.
Yeah, and I think it has to do with, because these days it's not explicitly blatant in the term, like it was in the, let's say, during the civil rights movement. There were actual laws that said, you know, black people, you have this water fountain. White people, you have this water fountain. You can't go to school together. You can't. And that's like a very clear target. What we're dealing with now is racism in people's hearts. And that's a very difficult thing to tackle. It's much more difficult. It's much more insidious. But I think it's important to talk about and bring. And then on the other side, you know, a lot of really, really good, honest law enforcement are fearing for their lives. I have a friend who's he used to work with me at the gym. He became a you know, police officer, and so we're still friends on Facebook. He's got teenage kids. His teenage kids were getting threatened
by
other people.
Here's the problem with what you're saying right now, and this is where you get eaten alive, is because you're sharing a story right now from a police officer's perspective. And because you can't share a story with me right now where somebody's been discriminated against because of color. So that's what's why you have to be careful about how we voice our opinions on here, because of that right there.
Right.
So that's the thing that why we wanted to say less, is because even though I understand where your heart is coming from and you're sharing a very real story, but there's people that are now listening that are, what about the person of color that was discriminated?
It doesn't discredit any of that.
I know, but it does for somebody else.
I know.
Well, and I think too that people are just going through a lot of the different stages of emotion with how to really, you know, like deal with it. And I think that we're seeing this in a lot of different directions, and how people, you know, decided to act upon, you know, these emotions that got stirred up. And that's why it's difficult, because and that's why I think that, you know, kind of, you know, less is more right now, just, you know, for us is a good strategy, and where I think we're just going to have a more deeper conversation about it a little bit later on, when it's not so charged, and when people kind of come back to understanding, you know, what their core values are, and you know, what authentically, you know, they want to present out there.
Well, I think if this sparks a better conversation, I think if it wakes people up, I think it's going to be a good thing. I think if it raises money and actually changes things in effective, objective ways, it'll be worth it. If it causes division and more hate and violence, that's not going to help anybody. And so I that's what I call for, you know?
Yeah, what's really interesting to me is, like, there is nobody that supports any of the four cops that did what they did.
No, that was so blatant and obvious and terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Thank God all of them got indicted.
And that's why, too, I find it really interesting with the retaliation of violence and that's happening in response to that, because I think everybody agrees.
Well,
it's really weird that we're dividing each other right now and we're fighting, when we all look at it and go, like, holy shit, this is wrong.
And
something needs to happen. Well, nobody's not saying that.
Everybody's been cooped up too. I mean, we forgot about, like, the last few months of being inside, not ever being around other people. Like, there's just so much tension even prior to this. So I think it's just like an eruption And this is something that's like, it's difficult because, you know, the emotional outburst of this one incident is so powerful that it brought back all these feelings.
Well, I have a lot of friends and family that were marching with the Black Lives Matter protesters, and they were saying how peaceful they were. And there are reports that a lot of the violence and the rioting and the looting is being instigated by outside forces, outside nefarious forces.
This is something that's happening.
There are people on both extreme sides who they look at this as an opportunity to cause massive instability. Don't think for a second there aren't extreme right white supremacist groups mm-hmm. who don't enter into these protests where people are definitely angry, civil disobedient, not being violent, not breaking things, and then they'll start it. They'll start it off. They'll throw the first brick, or they'll kick. You know, they'll chant the wrong thing or whatever to get people to do, you know, things that discredits their movement but causes lots of instability. There's extreme left movements. There are outside. Look, China, Russia, other countries are constantly looking for opportunities to cause instability. Don't think for a second they're not looking at peaceful yet but angry, intense protests and saying this is going to be something we can manipulate. So we have to be very careful how we paint this whole thing. In my experience, from the people I know, the Black Lives Matter movement, largely, if not all, peaceful. But there are elements that are moving in that are causing some serious problems and division, which is why I want to call for peace. Civil disobedience is a big part of this country. It's a good part of this country. We're free to protest, and I love that.
It's a right every American shares.
And I love that. I love it. It's caused incredible change and growth in this country for many times, whether we were protesting for women's suffrage, the civil rights movement, gay marriage, ending the draft. This is all very important. But violence and hatred doesn't unite very, very well. So pay attention. If you're a police officer, stay calm. Stay smart. If you're on the other side protesting, pay attention. Look around. Who are the instigators? Who are the ones trying to make you look bad because they're starting a bunch of damage or they're looting or they're being violent? Because that's going to misrepresent you too. So stay. That's why I say peace, love, and unity. And let's all do this together.
This Quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
First question is from Katie G. Hart. What is your opinion on finishers? Are they necessary or helpful to build strength?
Ah, yes, the happy ending of fitness programming.
the finisher. Oh, I don't feel satisfied. I need to be finished. So finishers refers to exercises that people do at the end of their workout.
These are made up.
Why are
you validating
them? I'm just explaining, right? They're isolation movements. They're designed to add more volume, give you a better pump, that kind of stuff. I get why people do it. They want to squeeze in more sets without creating much more damage. But there is a much better way of increasing volume over time with your workouts.
That's just it. If you were to take this question feels like deja vu for some reason.
Yeah, weird.
If you were to take your workout programming, whatever it is, whatever you're following, if you're not following MAPS, and you actually just measured the total volume, sets, reps, weight, you multiply all three of those, right? And you get your total volume. So let's say it's chest day, and you multiply that out, and you've got 15,000 or 10,000 pounds of total volume. It's probably some totally inflated number, but let's just say for argument's sake, 10,000 pounds of volume that you're moving of weight on your chest. And you saw, Jolly Swole's Instagram, and he's talking about the latest, greatest finisher exercise that you should do.
Best content.
For chest day, right? And it's, and normally finisher, quote-unquote, exercises are, cable, like Sal's alluding to, isolation-type exercises to kind of get the pump off or finish your workout. Okay, if you take the same scenario, and instead of doing a finisher of, 3 to 5 sets of these pumping exercises, and you added one more set of your incline barbell press that day and one more set of your dumbbell chest press exercise that day, you will get way more bang for you. You'll get more gains from that than just adding a finisher exercise. And even if you're listening to me right now and you're like, oh, that's bullshit. I follow Joey and I did his finisher thing and it totally helped my chest. What, for 2 weeks? And then your body got adapted to that because all you did was add volume to a workout. The body responded, changed, grew, got stronger, whatever, adapted, and then now it's plateaued again. Like, until you figure out what you're actually doing that's causing the gains or not, it's just it's silly to me. And and I don't like validating these things because I think it just confuses people on how to program design.
Well, let's look at the value, right? The value is more volume, less damage. If that's what you're looking for, there's a better way to add finishers. Not at the end of your workout. Do them on the days off in between. That's when I see lots of value of doing these isolation movements and getting the pump on the days.
What we call frequency builders.
Exactly. So like trigger sessions or focus sessions, right? Those are found in MAPS Anabolic and MAPS Aesthetic. Those are frequency builders. They add volume. They're lower intensity. And the exercises that make up those workouts would be considered finishers if you did them at the end of your normal long workout. So the way I like to do it is do your normal, regular, heavy workout. Then on the days in between when you're off, when you're not training that body part, throw in a few sets of some of these finishing exercises. Do it that way and watch what happens. Now, if you want to add something to the end of your workout, add isometric movements. Squeeze the muscle really hard at the end of the workout. Do that for 10, 15 seconds. Hold the squeeze. Rest for 30 seconds to a minute. Repeat. Try that five times and watch what happens.
Next question is from MTino10. How important is having a lower back arch when chest pressing? Are there ways to improve having a stronger arch?
Well, since Justin has the best.
Justin's always working on his arch.
Yeah, since he has the best one, we should ask him.
I'm going to get a tattoo. Watch out, you guys.
This helps with booty pics more than anything else.
No, so when you lay on your back flat, you'll have this natural arch in your low back. Don't try to flatten that down. You want to bring it up just a little bit, tighten your body. Now, what that does is it allows you to helps you bring your shoulder blades down and back and stabilize them so that you can press heavy weight. It actually is safer for your shoulders to press this way. It works the chest better as well. So this is that arch in your bench press is an important part of the form. Now, power lifters will exaggerate that to shorten the range of motion or to maximize leverage. If you're a power lifter, totally fine. But if you're a regular lifter, just do the natural arch, brace yourself, bring the shoulders down and back and stabilize the shoulders. That is part of form.
I actually don't like cueing this at all. I cue the shoulder blades. Mm-hmm. That creates the natural arch.
Right.
If you tell people about the arch, they think about their low back more than they think about what you really should be thinking about. This isn't about your low back. This is about your pulling your shoulder blades back and down. When you pull your shoulder blades, anybody listening right now can do it in your car or sitting in a chair or whatever you're at right now.
Headlights.
Pull and squeeze your shoulder blades back and down. And when you do that, you'll feel that your low back naturally arches. Don't think just about arching the low back. That's right. A bad cue. And I think it's a bad way to teach somebody this. Everybody has a natural arch.
Yeah, lay flat on the floor.
Yeah.
You'll naturally have it.
Yeah, and some more than others. Okay.
Justin.
But but by
you guys are so jealous.
Cueing the shoulder blades back and down, it's going to put a perfect arch in your back that you don't need to be focused on it anymore than that. And the only reason to focus on getting a more extreme one is if you are in the sport of powerlifting and so you're trying to create more leverage. It will give you more leverage to get an excessive arch, but that doesn't compute to more gains.
More leverage, definitely everything you said, but also don't forget the leg drive. And that's just to be more effective with your distribution of force and to be able to generate more force. And the more stable your body feels in that position, yes, you're going to have a natural arch because of exactly what Adam said with bringing those shoulder blades back and down, but also, too, you want to be able to support everything by adding in your legs as another component.
All right, next question is from Con Nielsen. For athletes, what is a good balance between cardio, resistance training, and mobility training?
This depends on the sport.
It does, right? If you're whatever sport you're doing, that most of your training should be practicing that sport, playing that sport, doing scrimmages.
Splort.
Yeah, I said that word.
I got that.
It's splort. Vocabulary.
Sorry. Right. Yeah, what is this word?
It's so foreign.
No, I've trained athletes. Shut up. practice your sport most often. That's where most of your workouts should be placed. Now, as far as strength training is concerned, depends on what you're doing. And it depends on what your season looks like. If you're doing lots and lots of practice, I strength train with athletes once a week sometimes because they're doing so much other work. Mm-hmm. Mobility work daily. Yeah. And not intense daily. Some days are intense, some days are easier. But every single day we'd be working on mobility because mobility done properly really attacks the main reason why athletes' performance may decline, which has to do with just poor movement patterns and injury.
Dude, 100%. This is if I could go back and redo my entire programming of my athletic career, I would place way more emphasis on strength and movement. And in terms of like building a solid base is, I mean, it's really important to build that foundational strength. And so that has to be, you know, what you really focus on in the very beginning. But also, you know, once you get to that point, it's about how well, how effectively you can move, how explosive you can move, and how quickly you can stabilize on command. You have to have, you know, an even higher level of command over your body and healthy joints to be able to pull that off. And nothing addresses that better than, you know, quality mobility practices and really focusing on strengthening your range of motion.
This is one of those questions. This is really hard to answer because there's such an individual variance, like many questions that we have to try and answer. And you do. You have to really look at where your shortcomings are as an athlete. Because if you have a weak gas tank, then I would have you do more cardio. Let's say you're carrying an extra, you know, 15, 20 pounds that is not helping us out in your sport. You know, your sport is not a sport used like with leverage, like maybe wrestling or something like that. And then you being an extra 15, 20 pounds overweight, I might have you on the treadmill doing more work to burn calories and burn body fat to get you leaner and lighter and work on your endurance because you lack there. If you're somebody who doesn't lack there so much, then it's going to be less emphasis there. I agree, I think, with both you on the mobility thing. I don't think anybody can do too much of that. I think that's something that we can all be better at, and I think it's an area that a lot of athletes neglect. But again, still, it really depends on how much of a limiting factor that is in your performance of your sport, and every sport is very different. So, it's a tough one to answer. Now, if you're just a person who considers themselves athletic because they like to go pick a ball up every once in a while and play a sport, or they do athletic things, but then they also want to build muscle, then I also have, you know, different advice for you. Like, you have to understand there's going to be a give and take in everything. If my sport is the number one focus, then like Sal alluded to, I might be only training you one day a week in weight training because most of the time it's going to be geared around getting you better at your sport and your skill. But if you're somebody who's just like, hey, I want to be an athletic person, but I also want to build a physique, well, then I might have you training 2 to 3 days a week in weightlifting with, you know, intermittently using cardio and using different drills to keep you athletic and mobile. And mobility is the one thing probably that we all would say in common of that just needs to be in there on a regular basis.
For sports.
Next question is from Tanner Sorrells. What was each of your biggest client pet peeves when you all were training?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Whoever picked this.
You know, I got one off the top of my head. I used to hate having to explain or debate fads, fitness and health fads constantly.
So, Lord.
I'd be training a client for a year, 2 years, 3 years. You know, they've learned a lot. We've gotten real far. They've gotten great progress. Yeah. And then they'd come in and be like, hey, my friend just lost 30 pounds. She did this HCG diet.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it? And I'm like, okay, let me look it up. And I look it up. I'm like, all right, here's why it's not good. But she looks really good. How did she lose that weight? And I'm like, well, it's, you know, 400 calories a day. It has nothing to do with this HCG that they're injecting. And I'd have to have these discussions and debates. And I would get annoyed because it's almost like you want to tell your client, like, you should know better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been talking to you about this for 3 years. Now you're coming to bring me. But that was one of my pet peeves. But I always tried to stay patient and calm because there's so much bad information out there that, you know, a big part of your job as a trainer is just helping them sift through the crap and find the good stuff.
You know? Lying to me. That was like my number one pet peeve. You know how many Cleon clients lie?
They told you you're a good trainer?
Yeah.
You liar.
That's the biggest lie for sure.
You lie.
No, I mean, they do.
When they track their food and stuff?
Yeah, food tracking or telling you that like, if I, like, you know, or, you know, ones where I try to get somebody to stop doing cardio and, you know, I'd
sneak around your back.
Oh, yeah, they would. I'd catch them. You know what I'm saying? I'd catch them doing things. I'd be like, what did I tell you? You know, and then we wonder why things aren't going to according to plan. The other pet peeve of mine, too, and this is my own shit that I struggle with, is because, unfortunately, I just don't have this thing. This is one of the attributes that Sal has that I wish I had, is that...
Large penis?
Oh, my God. You're just hitting him out the park today.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. We would notice because you're wearing shorts.
My pants.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No pants today. Yeah. I don't have a photographic memory, and I am the worst. Like I will read a study two or three times, and it will take me at least four or five times trying to explain it before I think I can explain it really well. And so when I would get, you know, challenged in something that I know I'm right, like I know that I have the right information, but then I couldn't articulate it really well. Mm-hmm. And I know that Sal can't relate to this because he has the opposite, right? He's really good at this. Probably what made him really good as a trainer is that someone could question him on what he's doing and then he could break down the study to support it. I, on the other hand, read the same studies but couldn't regurgitate it. So it was more like, just trust me, goddamn.
I knew I didn't apply it. Yeah.
So that was a pet peeve. It would frustrate me when you would hire me as a professional and then I lacked the ability to... Again, I know it's my own shit, right? It's not like I'm mad at the client, but it was a frustration, right? Or a pet peeve of mine of like having to like prove that I knew that I was talking about. It's like, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't know what I was talking about. So that drove me crazy spending a lot of time doing that.
One of my biggest pet peeves was when I would take all of the time in the world to explain like exactly why I was programming the way I was programming and going through all these steps and, you know, trust the process and all that stuff. And I find out later, like they signed up for all these extra classes that they were doing, besides our sessions. And it was just like, it was always never enough, which is a battle that I was constantly having with clients. And then, you know, inevitably we get to a point where they realize they're just spinning their wheels. And because I would have other people listen that would gain progress, and then we'd have that conversation again, it'd come up. But yeah, they used to just be so frustrating to me because it feels like doing more is always going to push you forward. But
yeah, like it's always better.
It's just always better. And that's a hard argument to unravel, you know, and show somebody that they're wrong.
Yeah, so. here's another one. When I would go out to eat with a client, which wasn't super common, I did maintain a professional line. But, you know, after you train people 5, 6, 7 years, you know, they'd ask you go to lunch or come over, meet my family. And you do it and you would see them change their like eating behaviors just because you're there, you know, like, oh, I'll make sure we go somewhere healthy. And I'm like, man, I'm just a regular person like you are. Yeah. And I train you. I've been training you for years. Like, it's not a big deal.
You eat milkshakes?
Yeah, you can have a glass of wine and we can have pizza. Or you ever run into a client at the grocery store? It's happened to me a couple of times where I see a client with their cart and then they see me, don't know that I saw that they saw me, and then they turn around real quick.
leave the cart?
Yeah.
Because it's all like frozen food.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, you know? Like it's
I don't
like,
know whose this was.
Oh. Yeah, it's so weird.
Thought it was mine.
It
was
jumped
totally
in here
mine.
Off the racks.
But I mean, you know, trainers are regular people too, and you're more effective when the person is honest with you and then you can work together. And I think sometimes – as a trainer, I might have made people feel like they couldn't be totally honest. That's on me. It's like I'm, you know, following along your lines, Adam. That was on me pretty much.
I mean, I think that's important to note, right? With any pet peeves, frustrations, we're sharing them and having fun with them. But I'm also a person who totally believes that it's a mirror of ourselves, right? So if I'm frustrated with anybody, and I stand by that. If I'm mad at another person or frustrated, and if I'm emotionally charged or irritated about anything, that really isn't about the other person. It's really a reflection of myself. So we're having fun with these pet peeves and all. But,
oh, yeah. Like I could have communicated way better and would have absolved all of that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Now, look, Mind Pump is recorded on video as well as audio, so you can actually watch and listen to Mind Pump also on YouTube. So it's the Mind Pump podcast. Go check it out On there, we actually break up the episode with questions, so you don't have to listen to the whole thing. And they're easy to share, of course. So you can check us out there as well. Also, if you want to find us and talk to us, you can find us on Instagram. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.